Welcome to the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Denny Wilson, and you're listening to Take Aim.
Sing the wondrous song of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven,
Good evening and welcome to Take Aim. I'm glad you're here with us tonight, and I hope and pray that you're able to join us each Tuesday night at 6:30 Central here on the Gospel Radio Network as we study God's Word together. I also want to encourage you to listen on your mobile device when you're not able to be near your computer, and you can do that by going through the TuneIn app and searching for the Gospel Radio Network. By doing so, you'll be able to listen to this and other radio programs anywhere that you go. On the archives on the Gospel Radio Network, you can listen to this program, or you can listen to other programs such as the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible with David Harris and Tom Moore, or you can listen to Reflections on the Precious Book Divine with Rick Popejoy and Josh Romo, or Walking with Christ with Mike Bonner. 24 hours a day, you can study and grow and be edified in your Christian walk. I hope you'll take advantage of these two devices, the mobile device with the TuneIn app and your computer with the Gospel Radio Network. I also want to point you to my companion website where you can go to read articles, see lesson outlines, make comments, and participate in a discussion over the course of time on the subject of taking aim, of gaining eternal life and helping others to do the same. The web address is www.christiantakeaim.com. That's www.christiantakeaim.com. It is my prayer that you're encouraged, edified, and challenged through our studies, and that it will keep helping you move forward in focusing on the things that really matter in life. Our goal as Christians is to take aim on that eternal home. We want to go to heaven. We want to live with the Lord for eternity. However, we will not go to heaven by random chance or by luck. We must take aim. Now, in our last program, we talked about our theme of taking aim using 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." From this great statement, we realize that we must be pleasing to God. We must be prepared for the judgment so that we can go to heaven. And with the seriousness of the judgment seat of Christ, we must reach out to the souls of men with the power of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our focus and our goal on this program. And we want to go to heaven. And we want to take those that are around us with us. We want our family, our friends, our co-workers, and those that we don't even know yet to be saved. We long for the day when we can all be together with the Lord forever. While we admit that we want to go to heaven, and we have a desire to help others to be saved, it's going to take more than just wanting or wishing or hoping. We must take action. We need to set some goals. When we live with purpose and a plan, we can accomplish these goals of a heavenly home when this world is over. I want to share a few quotes with you this evening that will drive this point home. I know everyone has heard of Socrates. Well, Socrates once said, "The greatest way to live with honor in this world is to be what we pretend to be." The greatest way to live with honor is to be what we pretend to be. What do you pretend to be? What is it that you think about in your mind? Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it. So what are you dreaming about? Og Mandino said, always do your best. What you plant now, you will harvest later. And Jim Rohn said, if you don't design your own life plan, chances are you'll fall into someone else's plan. And guess what they have planned for you? Not much. Now, each of these quotations from men tell us that we can accomplish great things, but we must take responsibility for our actions and for our lives. Socrates suggested we ought to be who we pretend to be in our minds. So what do you dream about? What do you think about? Are you that athlete? Are you that baseball player that's standing at the plate with two out, bottom of the ninth, the bases are loaded, you're ready to swing that bat and hit that home run? Or maybe you're that businessman who's dreaming about that next promotion, that next acquisition, that next accomplishment, that next account that you open, whatever it may be. Or maybe you're dreaming about being a celebrity. Maybe you want to be a writer or an actor or a musician. What is it that you think about? Instead of just dreaming about those things, we ought to do them. Now, do you ever dream about telling others about Jesus? Do you ever dream about talking to your family and friends about the church? What do you pretend to be in your mind? Walt Disney believed that if you set your mind to it, you could accomplish anything that you wanted. You could make your dreams happen. But he also admitted it took work and dedication. It takes determination. But the truth is, you can accomplish many of your dreams in life if you'll ever put these dreams to a practice in your life. Do you ever dream about how you can make a difference in the lives of others? Do you ever dream about how you can help those who are suffering, those who are hurting? Do you ever dream about how you can be a preacher or teacher? What is it that you dream about? Og Mandino asserted that if we'll plant seeds with all of our might toward that desired goal, eventually we would reach a harvest. Are you planting seeds in the vineyard of the Lord? Are we planting the Word of God in the lives of others? Listen, Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 7 through 9, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Do you catch that? You plant the seeds, and you will reap a harvest. Isaiah 55 and 11 also gives us encouragement when we're planting seed. There God says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's will is going to be done. His word is going to be productive. It will bring about a harvest. So when we plant God's word in the lives of others, when we prepare the soil and plant the seed, which is the word of God, Luke 8 and verse 11, it will bring a harvest in the hearts of the good and the noble. Therefore, we need to make it our focus to tell our friends and family about Jesus. Jim Rohn, in his wonderful statement, makes it very clear that it's up to us if we're going to reach our desired destination. If we allow the world to dictate our direction in life, or if we fail to work toward our desired goal, we will accomplish absolutely nothing in life. So what is it that you have as a desire in your life? What are you designing your life to be? Are you striving to be a soul winner? Are you striving to be a servant of God? Are you striving to be a servant to your fellow man? Are you striving to be a faithful soldier in the Lord's army? What are your designs for your spiritual life? Are you determined to know the Bible more fully? Are you focused on steady growth and progress as a Christian? What are your spiritual designs for your life? If you do not plan and work toward that end, you will not accomplish anything for the Lord, and you will not reach others during your lifetime. You know the old adage, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So are you planning to fail in your service to man and your work for the Lord? or are you working a plan to make a difference in this life, to let your light shine? You know, Paul instructed the church at Corinth, saying, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave and be strong." 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. This type of instruction is a wonderful motivation for the Christian to get to work toward faithful living with purpose and with courage. Be aware, be watchful, keep on working, keep your eyes on the goal, and keep your guard up. We're going to be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. We're going to be courageous and bold as we do the Lord's work. We're going to be strong and continue to be faithful no matter what obstacle may be in the way. We know that we have victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. We must be dedicated to keep on fighting for what's right with strength of character that will carry us to the end, because that victory is in Him, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. You see, we can accomplish great things for the Lord, but we must have both a goal and a plan. We will not accomplish anything in life if we do not have direction or purpose in our lives. If you have your Bibles, you might open them to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read this text together today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2 helps us understand the right mindset in living, the right mindset of having a purpose, having goals. And so Paul tells Timothy, "You be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He said that you have to have that inner strength, that inner character that carries you through to the end. He should have that confidence in eternal life that keeps him dedicated on the work of edifying the saved and reaching out to the lost souls, regardless of the obstacles that may stand in his way. He's empowered through the gospel to keep on standing with Christ. He was also to teach faithful men who would be able to teach others also, in verse 2. Now, I have a good friend, Rick Popejoy, who teaches a sermon on this particular verse. He calls it fat teachers. We need fat teachers, F-A-T, faithful, able teachers. And that's what Paul tells Timothy here in this context. We have an obligation and a responsibility to tell others about Christ. You probably have heard the old adage, "I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody." We're saying that we are going to tell others about Christ Jesus. We're going to tell them about the soul-saving power of His blood. Timothy was to take the message that he had learned from Paul. He was to take the gospel that he had been studying, 2 Timothy 2:15. He was to take the scriptures that he had been learning from childhood, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And he was to impart that message on others who could take up the fight. These students were to be faithful in that they would obey the word of God and that they would have the strength of character to keep on following Christ. They were to be able to carry out the mission of evangelism and edification. Often people will make the excuse, "Well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to be an evangelist. I don't know how to talk to other people about Christ." Well, the truth is, we can all learn and we can improve on our ability to talk to others. We can get better at telling people about Christ. We have no problem talking to people about our nation and its politics. We have no problem talking about our favorite sports team. We have no problem discussing the food that we ate at a restaurant last night. And folks, we can tell others about Christ if we want to. But this is more about the person and their character and their attitude than just speaking. This is about knowing how to rightly divide the Word of God. It's about being someone who can properly reason from Scripture. It's about having the character to preach the Word, always being ready, willing to stand against error, and to finish the God-given work that has been set at their feet, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. So they're to be faithful, they're to be able, and they're to be teachers. You know, too much of what is going on in the religious world today is storytelling and after-dinner speeches and politically correct warm fuzzies. It's designed to make people feel good about themselves and to draw numbers. Now, there's nothing wrong with making people feel good. We want people to feel good. We want them to have an enjoyable life. But they cannot feel good while they're stuck in sin. The way to address that is to help them to get out of the sin so they're right with God, their sins are forgiven, and now they can have a great life in Christ Jesus. And so we see that we have an obligation to tell other people about Christ, and it involves preaching the gospel, the whole gospel, the true gospel, true preaching and teaching that's designed to reach the heart of man so they repent of sin and follow Christ. What is amazing is that when you type in watered-down preaching or something similar to that in the search engines, you'll see that denominational preachers all over the country and people all over the world and preachers within the churches of Christ will tell you that in Christendom as a whole, and even in the church in particular, we're seeing some things that are quite destructive, things that aren't really preaching at all. It's designed for entertainment and ear-tickling. It's meant to please man rather than pleasing God. Now remember, in our context of our general overall theme, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 11 starts off by saying, we're to be pleasing to God. And so rather than preaching in such a way that pleases man, we must stand up and preach the truth that pleases God. We've been saying this for years as preachers in the churches of Christ. We must preach the word. We must stand with Christ. Sadly, this idea of storytelling and ear tickling is not just found in the denominational world. It is a danger that's very real in the church, and we're seeing it around the nation today. We must make sure that we're actually preaching and teaching the word of God and not the ways of men. We must be faithful, able teachers. Paul went on to encourage Timothy to fight the Christian warfare as a soldier, focused on the commands of Christ with a determination to overcome the hardship, that is in verse 3 and 4. In his goals of going to heaven and taking others with him, he was going to have to endure some hardship. Folks, that's true of all mankind. Paul tells us that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. There are going to be people who are upset with us when we stand for the truth. There are going to be issues when we stand in opposition to the government and public opinion, such as issues such as homosexuality or abortion. There are going to be subjects that when we address them are going to cause people to be angry with us, like marriage, divorce, and remarriage. There are subjects that when we teach them, it will cause the world to not like us, such as singing praises to God with our voices rather than playing an instrument in worship, or partaking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week in the assembly, not during a wedding, not on Thursday night, not whenever we find it convenient, not quarterly. Folks, we must follow God's teaching. And when Jesus tells us that we stand up for the truth, it's going to bring difficulties. We can believe it. He knows. They hung him on a cross. Jesus warned us that some of those difficulties would even come from our own families. But the soldier of the cross must stand strong with endurance like a good soldier. Like the soldier, we're focused on pleasing our commander-in-chief. We're striving to follow Christ, and we're striving to follow his instructions. We're not going to turn from it to the right or to the left. We're going to stay with it. We're going to be true, just as the Lord encouraged Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. You know, there's a powerful statement in 2 John, verses 9 through 11. It says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Folks, we cannot turn away from our commander-in-chief. We must follow his instructions. We must preach his word, whether people like it or not. As a soldier of the cross, we're not trying to accomplish the things of this world. We're trying to please our Savior. He is our guide. Let's stand and fight and follow him. Paul also encouraged Timothy to run like an athlete trying to win a prize in verse 5. In order to receive the prize, the athlete must compete according to the rules. Paul said that he had fought the good fight, he had finished the race, he'd kept the faith, and there was a prize of eternal life waiting for him. And he said that prize is also available for all who loved his appearing. In other words, all of us who do the same things, who fight that good fight, finish that race, and keep the faith until the end. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 or 8. The runner sets his goals. He works toward his goals. He grows. He develops. He gets his lungs stronger, his legs stronger, his form stronger, and he accomplishes more. He runs races. He practices. He challenges himself. And then eventually he's running that race. He's coming to the end. He has prepared for that final kick, and he finishes the race. He crosses the line. He receives the medal because he ran that race, and he ran it according to the rules. Folks, we must follow the example of Christ and be faithful unto death. Follow the commands of the Father and reach that eternal life. Paul also told Timothy that he was to plant and work like a farmer looking toward that harvest. 2 Timothy 2, verse 6. To have a harvest, we must plant seeds. You know, it's not good enough to plant one seed. We have to plant ample seed into the field of men's hearts. That's true whether you're in the agricultural world or if you're just planting some grass seed in your yard. You cannot go into that field and plant one seed and expect a harvest. You cannot plant a handful of seeds and expect a harvest. You have to plant the seed adequately for the territory in which you are working so that it provides the seed enough coverage, if you will, so that it will be able to grow and produce a harvest. We must plant the seed bountifully. If we want a bountiful harvest, we must sow bountifully. We know it takes time to work the soil, to plant the seeds, to help the plant grow into maturity where it's able to spread its own seed. But with dedication and determination, the farmer continues his work. And as he does that, he follows the natural order of things which will lead to a harvest. As Christians who want to take the gospel to a lost and dying world, we must keep that kind of long-term planning and dedication, sowing the seed of the kingdom, helping the souls of men grow and mature so that they too can go to heaven. You know, I'm thankful for Paul's instructions to Timothy because it shows us the kind of purpose and plan that we must follow in life. We must be preachers and teachers of the gospel who teach others to be teachers. We must be teachers and preachers of the gospel who follow Christ as our commander-in-chief. We must be a people who run the race with endurance according to the rules so that we get the reward. And we want to be like that farmer who plants that seed and with determination works and waits for the harvest. We can accomplish much for the Lord, but it requires us to be disciplined, to follow the plan laid out by Christ, to follow that plan that the Holy Spirit gave to those inspired men who gave us that word of God, which is capable. In fact, it's more than capable. It will thoroughly furnish us unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul was telling Timothy, you can do it. You can accomplish these things. You can accomplish great things for the cause of Christ, but you have to follow the plan. You have to stick with it. And folks, we can too. We can do this. It will require strength. It will require hard work and determination. It will take dedication, and it will take focus. With a dream that we know that we can accomplish, with a goal that's set before us, with a plan to follow, and a focus on following Christ, we can make a difference in the lives of the people of this world, and we can live faithfully in Christ Jesus so that we can hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So what are your dreams? I'm not talking about your physical dreams or your financial dreams. What are your dreams as a Christian? What will you accomplish for the Lord? Know this. If you make the right plans and you work hard and you follow Jesus, you can do it. Your dreams can and will come true. You can reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make a difference. Friends, our aim is to go to heaven and to help others to do the same. The only way we're going to get to heaven is to be a Christian and obediently follow His word. Let me ask you tonight, are you a Christian? I hope you are, and if so, that's wonderful, and I'm glad you're here tonight, and I hope you'll share this program with others around you. But if you're not a Christian, why aren't you? Why aren't you giving your life to Christ? You know, that's what we want from you. We want you to repent of your sin and give your life to Christ and be washed in the waters of baptism, where you come in contact with His blood and you are made free from sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. If you'd like to know more about God's plan of salvation, I want you to contact me. You can contact me by email at roydw3@aol.com. That's ROYDW3@AOL.com. I'd love to study with you and discuss these things with you. I'd also be glad to study with you on different subject matter, or I can help you find someone in your area, in the church, around the nation, and around the world, who can meet with you and help you to study God's Word and to learn His plan for your life. With that kind of help and with that kind of care and with your dedication to know God's Word, you can give your life to Christ and He will make you whole. If you need that kind of help, why don't you let us know? Send me an email. Folks, I've enjoyed our time together this evening, and I hope you'll be back every Tuesday night at 6:30 Central for another lesson from God's Word. Don't forget to go to our website at www.christiantakeaim.com. That's www.christiantakeaim.com to read articles, to see outlines, to discuss the Bible with us. And very shortly, we're going to have all the radio programs in an archive where you can go and listen to them as well. I appreciate you being here, and I hope you'll be back next week at 6:30. And always make it your aim to go to heaven and to take others with you. Have a great evening, and thank you for listening to Take Aim.